they may not mind you kissing someone, but they're not ready for penetration. And it's a great happy medium to feel things out. And you never know, like when you're making out with someone else and your partner's watching, they can be like, this is super fucking hot.
That's like, what you want. Yeah, I know.
Right. Welcome to Sweet Release Podcast with me, Barbie Jean. Hi, sweets. Welcome back. Today, I have Michael here with me today. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Of course.
We are chatting about threesomes.
My favorite subject.
Yes, it's one of my favorites too. So we're going to talk about boundaries, like what to do when you cross someone's boundary. If you're in a relationship and you're curious about exploring threesomes, and then even reclamation sex, what is that? And why do we love it so much?
Okay.
So let's start with, like, I would love, you know, we both have been in a lot of threesomes, which I think is why we're going to be good at this topic today. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But what do you do if you're interested in exploring a threesome? Like, how do you even bring that up to your partner or lover?
Communication. it just starts with having that open dialogue. You know, if you are interested, if you're the person that's interested in the threesome, finding a time to bring it up is just as important as bringing up the information, right? Not everybody wants to talk about a threesome at certain times, right? So at the end of the night when my wife is winding down from work, that's not the time she wants to talk about a threesome, mm-hmm. right? What she does like is when we go out to a nice restaurant and then it's like, hey, what's been up? You know, what do you want to talk about? She loves, she's a foodie, you know? So I know if I bring her to a great restaurant, she'll be happy to talk about anything. So I think it just starts by putting someone in the right environment to be able to have that communication and not just bringing it up like, you know, someone's after work and they're chilling and, you know, they're just trying to wind down and not think about things too deep, or right before bed, or right when they wake up, or, you know, just finding, knowing your partner and finding and understanding the right time of when to bring up this type of conversation, when they'd be the most receptive.
Yeah, that's perfect advice for communicating in general. I feel like you just have to, find the right time.
Yep.
And be sensitive about it too, because you never know how people might react if it's your first time bringing this up. I think that's also important too, is to, like, you know, just kind of like tiptoe into it.
Exactly. And you know, I know that when my wife first gets off of work, she is ready to say no to everything. So like, this isn't the time to bring up the threesome conversation, right? When she's eating an amazing meal, like she's more, I'm not saying she's a yes to everything, but she's more inclined to be open to exactly what I'm saying versus a little bit more closed off. So starting off with the right environment and the right time.
Did you guys started monogamous, right? For like a short period.
So when we first started dating, yes, we were monogamous. Right before we got married, we became non-monogamous. So we've been non-monogamous for almost 7 years. Our anniversary is August 29th.
Oh, coming up. Congrats.
Exactly. Thank you very much. It'll be 7 years.
Do you remember like who brought it up for you guys and like how that conversation went initially?
That story started because she caught me cheating.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Take me back. Oh, no. Yeah. She caught me cheating, and I used to be a meditation coach and a yoga teacher. And I realized that we were about to have the big conversation, you know, like this could be the breakup one. And she had caught me cheating, and I was like, look, before we have this conversation, let's just meditate for 20 minutes. And we meditated. And during that meditation, I was like, why are you cheating? You love this woman, you know? And then I realized, like, man, I think I may have mentally, physically, or spiritually cheated on every girlfriend that I've been with. I don't think I'm monogamous. And prior to that time, I had five threesomes prior to getting married. So I was like, that's just an experience that, like, I'm still want to experience. I don't want to get married and be like, oh, remember those times I used to have threesomes? You know, I want to see if she can, we can find a way for my fantasies to come true. And so I told her that, look, I don't think I'm monogamous, you know, and she was like, hey, I think, you know, thank you for being honest. And since we're being open, I'd like to try hooking up with women. And I was like, hold up. I think we could have a threesome. So that is literally how our first threesome happened. And, you know, it was a super vulnerable time to just like, you know what, I'm just not monogamous. And for her to feel comfortable because I was vulnerable saying, you know, I'd like to explore as well. We got to the point where it was like, okay, the first step is to try a threesome. And we did with a good friend of mine. It wasn't like a random person. And I can get into that later of like the spontaneous threesomes versus the planned threesomes.
Yeah, definitely.
But it was someone that I knew. They were coming into town. We had some, you know, I told everybody was informed prior to. It wasn't a spontaneous. It was like, hey, you're coming into town. I was wondering if you would be down for this. Like, my wife is down. Are you down? Cool. Started a group chat and kind of was a little flirty on there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when she came in town, we had that threesome. And it was a little rough at first.
Yeah, I think first threesomes always are.
Exactly.
And so I think that's a good thing to also talk about, because with every relationship, I've been a lot of firsts too with like couples.
Ooh.
And so I was
seen a lot of arguments, have you?
Oh yeah. I've seen, yeah, some uncomfortable like energies for sure.
Being the third in those situations when people are like arguing, like, why are you kissing her so long? Like,
it's never gotten to like a verbal argument, but I think I can just really sense like energy.
Okay.
Or they'd have to like, or they like left the room and like, you know, took it away, but it was never really like in front of me.
Okay.
But it was always like, or actually maybe there was one time where she kind of freaked out for a second and I was like, okay, I think it's my cue to leave. But yeah, let's talk about that, because I think it's important for people to know if they're stepping into this space that, you know, it's okay to, that it doesn't go smoothly the first time. So how do you check in throughout?
Yeah, it's, you can't expect the first time of anything to go smoothly.
Totally.
Right? Like anything that you try for the first time, it's going to be super awkward. So having that understanding going into it is the first step. But if things do get rocky or it is your first time, it is totally okay to leave the room in a threesome, to take a break, mm-hmm. To pause everything and talk to your partner. No one is going to, people are going to respect you so much more for saying, you know what, I feel uncomfortable right now. And if you need to check in with yourself, then go by yourself. If you need to talk to your partner, then say, hey, can we go into the other room? Or, you know, hey, can you give us a minute so we can talk some things out? I think people respect that communication versus like, I can't believe they would stop this momentum we've got going. you know, it just lets everyone know that you're in tune with your feelings and you're feeling this thing out. And I think everybody can respect someone that's like, hey, you know what? This is no longer a fuck yes. And I just need to check in with myself or myself and my partner.
Yeah. And I think in the topic, like maybe we can sway with into like how to pick someone, like pick a third, because I was also thinking, if it is your first time, it would probably be beneficial to find a third person that has experienced threesomes before so that they kind of know the dynamic and that they can like also be respectful of you, because there's so much more emotions involved. So it can definitely get like...
Barbie, that's a great point, is picking someone that's been in a threesome before. And I think it's a bigger point than picking someone to have a threesome with. Right? If that person has never had a threesome, you're having like three people here who have never done this before. So having somebody that's had like multiple threesomes mm-hmm. before, they know how to navigate it. They're not just basing off of one experience, but they've had multiple threesomes. So they can help everyone navigate it. They may be in a little more in tuned to be like, you know what? something's off, I'm going to step out, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe they know how to make it less awkward as well when they step out. It's like, oh, you know what? I need to use the restroom. And it gives that couple a time to talk. So I think that's a really good point, is having a threesome for the first time. If you can find someone that's done it before, great. Now, if you can't, I think one of the things you could do is start a group chat between the three people.
Always.
And you could start talking about boundaries in the group chat, mm-hmm. because I think some people think that if you start the group chat, right, are those other two going to text each other without me around? And I like that can eat at you. And the best thing to do in that situation is to outline the boundaries, like, hey, I'd prefer all communication between you two happen on here and there not be a side text, mm-hmm. to make you feel more comfortable. And that's just a trust exercise, right?
Totally. There was a time when, in the beginning of our relationship, me and my partner now, where we started dating this girl and we always had like a three-way chat, and then she messaged him on the side and he was like, hey, like, just so you know, like, this is just like a little boundary crossing for us. We would prefer if you could like communicate. So yeah, it's a perfect opportunity and just a great way for newbies to like make sure that you're feeling good about everything.
Yes. Everybody wants to come in feeling like they're on the same page, mm-hmm. and there hasn't been like some side flirting and some side conversation to where they're hooking up and they're like whispering inside jokes. Like, wait, like, what do you mean? Why do you call him daddy? But point is, the communication is key. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves a spontaneous threesome. They're just so rare.
They are rare, yeah.
So to try to give you tips for spontaneous threesomes is not realistic. If it happens, it's a unicorn situation. And like, great, you did it. That's awesome. But, you know, I've been doing this for years and maybe like two or three, mm-hmm. spontaneous natural threesomes have happened to me.
Yeah, I don't even know if I've had one of those. Maybe at like a swingers resort, which even if
it, is but that it's not, really yeah, considered? Is it that?
Yeah. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly. I've had a few in the wild, but yeah. Super rare. So communication prior to, mm-hmm. get a link. You know, as you know from the play, I like desires, intentions, and boundaries, mm-hmm. expressed prior to playtime. In most situations that I'm in, and there's more than like one other person that I'm playing with, I try to get everybody's dibs out there.
Yeah. Ask them like, what are your fantasies? Like, what's your intention for this experience?
You're having this threesome. Like, what do you want to happen to you?
And even if you're a third, I think that's really awesome. Like when we've had dates with women and they've been like, what are your boundaries? What are this? Like, that's really awesome to start the conversation on both sides, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
for sure.
And again, every single person should say their desires. So at least we can maybe have a little checklist, mm-hmm. if everybody feels comfortable with it. I've always hated like going into play situations without talking about what I would like to experience in that play situation. I don't like to leave it up to chance.
Yeah.
You know, and most people, once they know what you like, they're like, yeah, let's knock it out.
Yeah. And then they like want to make that happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they'll get like a little bit more into it. For know, sure. Maybe.
That's what you want. Yeah.
So next.
What about when you cross somebody's boundaries? Like how do we.
So I think crossing anybody's boundaries, whether it's in a threesome or just in a relationship, is fairly similar. Identifying the boundary that you crossed, like clearly, acknowledging that you crossed that boundary, whether you did it unbeknownst to yourself or knowingly, it doesn't matter. Just the acknowledgement that you crossed the boundary is huge. And then, you know, from there, you can say, I'm not going to do things different, but only your actions will tell. And I think I've told other couples this, if the boundary is crossed, the best way to repair is putting someone back in that similar situation to see if they learn from their mistake versus let's never do this threesome again, mm-hmm. right? Like, let's try it one more time and see if you learned. And if it becomes a pattern, now we have an issue, right? It could be a character trait thing.
Yeah.
So that's something else. So yeah, boundary crossing is going to happen.
Yeah, it is. And I also think sometimes it's tough for someone to voice to their partner that like you did cross a boundary. Like sometimes you just feel awkward. You feel weird. You're like, oh, now I'm starting to feel like, or maybe this isn't a boundary that you voiced ahead of time, but now it's starting to feel like it is one. So how do you do that in the moment? Or
yeah, I think one thing everyone should realize is that boundaries evolve mm-hmm. over time with our experiences. They evolve. When we first started play parties or hooking up with other couples, it was, you know, no kissing.
Really? You know,
like our first one or two, it was like no kissing. And then it was like, this is clearly doesn't make sense. Like kissing this is what turns me on. Like, this is how we get started. Like,
but I've heard that from a lot of people that kissing is a very like intimate, sensual.
This is exactly what my partner said. Okay. It was like, hey, like kissing is super intimate. And what I realized is like, I kind of need a kiss to get started. So like, I don't know if we could even play with like, it's super weird to me if someone just starts sucking my dick without a kiss. Like, you know, like I just got here. So
That's interesting. The first threesome I had with this couple where I was there first, we didn't even have penetrative sex, but we did a lot of making out and we did a lot of oral, and I could like sense that this was like, you know, I could just feel
super new.
And so, you know, we didn't actually, I think the three or four times he never ended up having sex with me. Like it was just like a very fluid experience with us three, and like maybe rope got involved one time and things like that. But it was like, we never actually had like that penetrative, you know, dick and vagina. So.
You bring up a good point that a threesome isn't just penetration.
Right.
Right. There's so many ways to have a threesome, especially for people starting off, to be like, okay, we're going to have a threesome, but here are my boundaries. Maybe penetration this time isn't in the cards, right? A threesome isn't defined by penetration. It's defined by intimacy. Mm-hmm. And if you're not ready for penetration, finding different ways to bring a third in to potentially lead up to that, or maybe your threesomes are non-penetrative.
Right.
I don't know if penetrative is a word, but it feels good.
I like penetrative. I like that. It's a probably word. I think that's great. And I think that's something I've always educated people on too, is because I'm a huge believer of baby steps. And so that maybe that could be something that you do really take your time with if you're feeling like a little squeamy about it, you know?
Yeah. If like one partner really wants this thing to happen and maybe the other doesn't, it's like, all right, would you be okay with us making out with someone else, like me, you, and this other person making out? Mm-hmm. And that could be such a great intro to where they may not mind you kissing someone, but they're not ready for penetration. And it's a great happy medium to feel things out. And you never know, like when you're making out with someone else and your partner's watching, they can be like, this is super fucking hot.
That's like, what you want.
I know, right?
Like you want that voyeurism to come out.
You know what? I wasn't okay with you kissing her, but I was okay with you sucking on her tits.
Right.
Like that. I didn't think I'd be aroused by that, but that was super arousing. So just feeling it out, taking baby steps, because with these relationships, we're hoping that they last a long time. Right. So you guys have so much time to discover. Everything doesn't have to be done in a night. And the more that you're patient, the more it gives people more room to grow at their own pace.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And that's what I love so much about it, is because it really is an experience with your partner where you can really grow and learn about each other and evolve in just like this special way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
All right. We were going to talk about the reclamation, or do you want to stay? I'm sorry. I should stop.
No, let's talk about reclamation sex.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to define it for everyone?
So reclamation sex is when you have hooked up with other people, maybe one of you guys, maybe both of you guys, but like situations happened outside of your relationship, you know, and you get together after that happens to hook up and reclaim your territory, AKA reclamation. So it's super, I think at the beginning of a relationship, it's super important. I know couples now that, you know, my wife and I used to say, we have 48 hours for reclamation, you know, so a play party would happen and we'd be like, okay, 48 hours. And then you know, we're gonna figure this out.
We get to reconnect.
Exactly. We get to reconnect. And what I love about reclamation sex is that it brings you back to when you first met, right? When you had something to prove to that person. Like, as these relationships go on, you're hooking up with the same person, you know, you have that like rollover morning sex, you know, like it's just not, let's be honest, it's not as exciting as like that first month, right? Reclamation sex brings that excitement back. It's like, man, I saw, like, you know, if I watched another guy like give my wife an amazing orgasm, you know, it's like, huh, I feel jealous.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel people in this space so many times like, oh, I don't get jealous. Like, what a treat it is in this existence to experience the emotion of jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, said, yeah. We get to experience it. We get to have an ego. You know, knowing when one is driving is the key. So when I feel that my jealousy is taking over, it's like, okay, I feel jealous. Let's go have some reclamation sex. I'm going to take out that jealousy on you. I want to remind you who I am, you know, all that good stuff, you know, just, but I think that's the cool part, is utilizing those emotions that you may be experiencing of jealousy, and transforming it into like bringing more pleasure to your partner. Like, oh my God, this, you know, I've been in situations where, you know, somebody had made my partner squirt and I'd never done that. Mm. And I was like, jealousy.
Yeah, for sure. It,
you know, and he was like, hey, don't worry. Let me show you.
I was going to teach you.
Yeah. I was like, I'm kind of jealous, but I'm also very interested. You know, and he was able to teach me. And then because we had the, you know, the intimacy and this is my partner, like we love each other. We have a different level of love than just some casual hookup. So when she ended up squirting with me, it was way more than anyone else, you know? So that was one of those times where I put my jealousy in check and sat down and learned a lesson,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, oh, wow, you are pleasuring my partner better than me.
Yeah,
it's hard to swallow, but mm-hmm. like, let me take notes mm-hmm. and ask questions. And it's the best time to do it is in a threesome. No one else is around. Like, wow, how are you eating pussy so well?
Yeah.
Like,
is there a technique?
Yeah. Like, she's making noises with you that she's not making with me. So like, what are you doing with your mouth that I could potentially do too? It, 9 times out of 10, nobody's going to be like, no, that's my little secret with me and your girl. Like, yeah, get out.
you know, see
like,
you later.
Exactly. It's like, no, like, let me show you. And it becomes, that's what I really love about threesomes. I think me some really cool learning experiences. And then also communication exercises. I'm just mm-hmm. like, yeah, we're in the heat of battle, you know, or fun. And we can stop and talk about things. And it, those are some of my favorite conversations. You know, I like the, it's not so much the sex, it's the pillow talk.
Yeah, it's the pillow talk, yeah. For sure. What about, you know, you've had a lot of threesomes with other women, but also with other men with your marriage. Could you kind of elaborate on how, because I know a lot of couples or even men have reached out to me just feeling like cautious of that. It's a different energy.
Yeah. So for guys, I will say this, I always put a red flag up for the guys who are only open to having threesomes with their partner and another woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand if like that's her boundaries, like, hey, I don't want another guy and I only am interested in other women. And I get that. But sometimes I can feel like that kind of energy isn't a quality. You know, I think it's like comes from a place of like, you know, the toxic patriarchy or masculinity, mm-hmm. if you will. So for guys out there who are having threesomes with their partner and only other women, I just challenge you to like open it up to another guy. And if she wants that, if that's her desire, you know, there's a lot of bisexual women who just want to hook up with another woman and then their partner. I get mm-hmm. it. Okay. If you're opening it up to another guy, again, we start with communication. You know, hey, bro, here are my boundaries. You know, there's guys where I've gotten a beer with them prior to. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, all right, here are my boundaries, right? Like, I'm not going to go over them here, but the point is like, I'll put some boundaries out there, right? Like, don't choke my girl. Mm-hmm. Don't do that in front of me. I can choke her. I don't want you choking her. That's a boundary there. So I'll let him know the boundaries prior to, then we can all three have a conversation. Cause I still think it's super important that all three people have a conversation, unless you're planning like a surprise threesome.
Right. Which are those really that fun? I don't know. Have you had a good one? You probably had a good one. I feel like for women, like we like to prepare for stuff. So my friend had a surprise like sex party thrown for her. And she was just like, I was like not super into it because I wasn't prepared to like get fucked all night, you know? Yeah, I feel like you have to, I don't know.
Yes.
Test the waters maybe.
Yes. There's been some good surprises and some bad surprises.
Yeah.
You know, I've had, on my birthdays, my wife has surprised me with some experiences.
Nice.
And
I love that.
You know, there was one time that was my wife and my girlfriend got together and like took me out, you know, dinner, hotel. You know, was it a surprise threesome? Yes. Sure. Like that morning I didn't wake up like I'm going to have a threesome, you know, but as things like, oh, we're having dinner together. Like, cool. Nice. Yeah. But there's been other times where like my wife went out on a date with some other people. And they came back home to surprise me, you know, with a threesome. And I was like, oh no, I kind of masturbated because I thought it was hot that you were going on a date with all these girls, you know, like, and now that you guys are trying to play with me, like,
ugh. Might need some time.
it's a not tonight.
Really? You know?
Yeah. So, again, I think the surprise threesomes fall into the spontaneous threesomes
when
bucket.
Good, they're good. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're, when they're good, they're good. They're great. They're amazing. But it is a very slim window to get those spontaneous ones that are great. That's it.
Yeah. Let's go back a little bit to, you know, I think the difference between like having a threesome with a man, you were talking about like sometimes you grab a beer with them. Okay. Like,
yeah. So with guys, there's, when I first started off having threesomes, it was like, don't touch me. Don't touch me, bro.
That was the boundary. Yeah.
It was easy boundary. Like, don't touch me. And like, we can limit the eye contact, you know?
Love it.
Oh,
but that's evolved.
This was year one. This was year one. I was sure. Just like, look, we're gonna, like,
that's how you start.
We're gonna make her fantasy happen. But bro, I don't need you like pumping away, staring me, deadpan at me, you know.
So true.
Oh my God. And then when I first started out, I was just uncomfortable with touch. Mm-hmm. You know, as I've gone on, I'm comfortable with touch. You know, it makes sense. You know, if someone is trying to, you know, suck both of our dicks at the same time, our hips got to be pretty close, bro. You got to be on the side. We kind of got to wrap around each other here. So, it's just techniques.
Certain positions you have to touch.
You have to. Yeah. And like being super weird about just, it's fine.
But again, baby steps. I think that's great. Like in the beginning, you were like, don't touch me. And then like, as time went on, you're like, okay, a little touch here, a little touch there. I'm sure it's evolved.
How all threesomes evolve.
Yeah.
And start with what you're comfortable with.
Right.
And I was coming from like, you know, the toxic masculinity of like, no bro can touch me. You know, like, oh, it's totally fine. It's totally fine. Mm-hmm. Right. We're both naked here. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, like, yeah, if we're having a threesome and like I make eye contact with a guy, it's like, yeah, like we're having a good time, right? We're doing it, man. You know, it's more of like a just a connect. I'm super excited for those moments where like we are giving someone a great experience and we have eye contact to be like, yeah, man, we're getting it done. It's teamwork. And I don't know if you know, you've ever been on a team sport growing up, mm-hmm. but it's like one of those things where, you know, when I was playing basketball and someone would give me like an alley-oop and I would dunk it, you know, something, I don't avoid eye contact after that, you know, mm-hmm. and this is up there with that feeling. Like having a threesome is like up there with like scoring a basket feeling. So it's like, yeah, you gave me the assist. I made the shot. Like I look at him like, yeah, man, we did it. We're doing it. We're team working together. So
that is the vibe. And it feels good in the moment because you are like you're either passing him back or you're moving into different positions. And it just does feel really like just, yeah, like teamwork that, and fluid is the
that's the way
I
to look
use.
At it. Yeah. The way to look at it is that this is your teammate. Mm-hmm. And you have to have like good communication with your teammate. There's got to be eye contact at certain parts, you know, and reading your teammate as well, right? There's times when, God, I like the teammate reference.
Yeah, it's
there's times when I gotta take a time out, yeah. right? So my teammate, he's still going, right? So great. You keep going. I'm going to take a timeout. Matter of fact, I'm going to be a good teammate. I'm going to get us some water, mm-hmm. right? And I come back in the room like, hey, here you go. Boom, get some water going. If they need a break, but we're in this constant communication during the threesome as well.
Has there ever been a moment where you felt like you needed to take a break because like a boundary or something, maybe in the beginning or?
Yeah, there was times in the beginning for sure where you know, we were in, it wasn't a threesome, but it was like a swap, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, the guy was like, just tearing my partner apart, you know, it was like making noises that she hadn't made with me. And
jealousy was creeping up.
And I was like, you know, I have a whole nother human in front of me. Like, hey, I'm here. I'm hot. Like, you know, I'm like, you are hot, but like, oh, you know, and I'm not really focused in. And like, I was starting to get jealous. And yeah, I had to just take a deep breath and breathe through it. And also realize like I have this extremely hot person. You're like, why am I not focused on like right here, right now?
So yeah, you're in your head for sure.
But yeah, in the threesome, when that jealousy pops up, I say take a break to leave the room.
Yeah. Yeah. We mentioned that in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes it's good to just stand up and just say like, hold on.
Exactly.
That's all you got to say.
Yep.
Can we hold on?
if leaving the room still makes you feel uncomfortable, if that's the option where it's like, no, I want to see what they're doing because this is getting on my nerves. Like, okay, cool. Just say, hey, can we take a pause?
Yeah.
Right. No one in the piles will be like, no, I got to keep going. Like, excuse me. Right. So when you say take a pause, everybody pauses. And can I talk with my partner, you know, or maybe it's the other person like, hey, can I talk with you? Or some of the most beautiful conversations when everybody talks together. Mm-hmm. Right. Even if it's just supposed to be between one person, sometimes that third person seeing the way you communicate helps them in their relationships and their future communications in threesomes. So if you can have all three people there present, you feel comfortable like that, go for it. But if not, I totally understand. You can just talk to your partner. It's just, I've been the person where the couple walks out of the room and I'm just there in silence, you know, with like the playlist and the lights going, like, I wonder what they're talking about.
For sure.
So it kind of creates, you know, being empathetic to that third person that when you go and leave the room with your partner, they're in there thinking like, what did I do?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And maybe it wasn't a you thing, right? Maybe it was something that came up for them. Maybe they got a random text that has nothing to do with that threesome at all. But like when you're that third person just left in the room, it can be super awkward. And then when they come in, they're like, oh no, we're fine. It's like, are you? Like, you know, like
yeah, maybe give me a little something.
Can you get, yeah, give me like a little, like what was there? So I, mm-hmm. because again, no one comes into these spaces trying to cross anyone's lines. So by communicating, hey, you know what? We needed to just take a second. I was feeling a little jealous. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, like, let's all focus on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Redirect the energy. Because the moment you say like, oh, I'm just feeling a little jealous about this, you can easily switch it up and do something different that yep. feels better. Or you can stop it altogether. I mean, that's totally fine too. If you need to, you can cuddle or, you know, people have boundaries about cuddling though too, but sometimes it's nice to just like lay in bed together and I don't know, just be in that energy where you're just loving on each other and legs are crossed and you're just rubbing each other.
The pillow talk is my favorite. Yeah, I think just sitting there with all three people and talking about their past experiences, just getting to know each other. Mm-hmm. You know, first off, you know, like you can only have sex consistently for so long.
Right.
Without drugs. Truth. But I love the moments where the three of us get to just chill. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's my favorite part, we didn't just
invite you to this threesome because we thought you were hot. Like we thought you were hot and interesting. And those moments of the in-between of like, ooh, we all need to take a break and like, oh man, talking about what just happened or
he's shaking up a cocktail for us.
Yeah. Like let's make drinks. Yeah. Like all of that. You have these great conversations like, okay, I'm feeling good again. Let's start again. It's like, yeah, okay. Or two people are feeling good again. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy this drink while you guys, I'm happy to watch. Right. And then you get to these really cool, fun dynamics. Now, I did want to come on and say one of my biggest tips for threesomes.
Please.
So my biggest tip for a threesome is that no one is ever going to get equally pleasured from a threesome. Mm-hmm. Just like no one is ever going to get equally pleasured from like a one-on-one situation, right? Rarely are you guys coming at the same time, right? So understanding that some nights you may be the focus. Some nights your partner may be the focus. And some nights the third person may be the focus. Wherever you guys start feeling the focus is going, lean into that. Eventually it's going to be your night. And people will lean into you. So don't make it feel as if like, oh man, I didn't get an orgasm tonight and everyone else got an orgasm. Hey, that's fine. Hopefully we can do this again. We'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice. Yeah. Lean into where the energy's going. Oh, so good.
We've been with, you know, women before where, you know, we had a lesbian phase for like a year.
Oh, nice.
I know. It was a thing. And,
so you weren't getting a lot of love.
Well, that was the thing. It was a 50-50. Sometimes the woman wanted to just experience some real penis, you know? So it was like, I'm getting all the love. Like, I thought you were a lesbian. Like, you will not get off. Like, my wife have a turn here. That's awesome. Like, okay. Because, you know, that's the taboo thing. Everybody's leaning into their taboos, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's some times where it was like, she definitely is a lesbian. And like, we're clearly like, you know, hey, she's like, actually, I don't want any penetration tonight. Like, I'm okay with you, like touching me with your hands. It's like, wait, what just happened here? Is this a threesome? Or like, you just hooking up with my wife would be watching. But like, cool. That's fine. So if your boundary is like no penetration and, you know, light touching, no kissing, that's okay. There's still three people here. So I'm going to lean into making this my wife's favorite threesome ever. We're just going to like lean into everything her. You've got the bottom. I've got the top. You know, we'll do all these different other things and focus on her. And I think that is what you have to notice is just who is this focus? Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes there's like those very rare times where everybody is equally into it and satisfied. Mm-hmm. Great. You got lucky. But most of the time, it may not. And again, it could shift throughout the night. It could be like, oh, the first 30 minutes, it was on me. And like, now we're shifting to you, you know, and then to you. So, but just knowing that like when it happens, don't try to walk away from a threesome thinking that all of us got the same experience. It's just, it's impossible.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. That's great advice. And I think even to just add to that real quick, if you're ever feeling weird, like you don't know what to do or you don't know where to go, I think it's also like, of course, there's so many body parts that you can just grab and kiss and lips and, you know, tongues, but it's also really comfortable for me anyways to grab a toy. And it's like, oh, okay, well then let's incorporate this. Or why don't I touch myself with the toy and like watch and maybe wait till some energy comes back around, you know? So I think it's, even if you're feeling weird, like, what do I do with my hands? What do I do here? Like, I think it's important to just like be like, okay, it's okay to like grab a toy. It's okay to just like kiss an open boob or, you know, whatever.
Yes. If I can, if I can talk to the fellas for a second here.
Yes, do it.
The threesome happens. You come pretty quick, you know, like it's a threesome, sure. Like it's your first one, like good luck, you know? So, you know, you came and they're still going at it. Like, get the toys. Like, also remember, you've got hands, you've got a mouth, like use everything but what's not working, you know? And I've seen, there's been so many times where the toy, because I used the toy and I was getting someone off, like I got hard again. Mm-hmm. So when you start using these other tools and not thinking about like, damn, my dick's soft, like the toys can get you back aroused, especially if you're arousing someone else. And
totally,
it's great to have toys available. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. Before we kind of finish up, I think it would be good to like educate people on where, like, how do you even find a threesome? Like, what are your go-to apps or methods? The
Play Network. Come on and join. Shameless plug. There's so many cool apps out there. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I really, I'm just over swiping. I'm over the swiping apps. I like the apps that, you know, like Candid is a great one. Mm-hmm. The Play Network is a great one, where you can see the members. And you and your partner can be like, let's talk to that person, right? And boom, you can start that conversation up. But I think the apps are a great part. And look, if you want to swipe, that's cool as well. You can, Field has an aspect to where you can be a couple. I think Beyond does as well. Mm-hmm. So swiping on singles, getting the conversation started, that's a great way. Going to play parties.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, events.
It's the best way.
Yeah.
Play parties are the best way to really find it, because it's not like the social event where it's like, you know, that person is actually just here to meet friends. You know, I've seen that so many times, especially in this space as it grows. It's like, actually, you're not here to play at all. You're just here to find a new kink partner or something of that nature. So when you go to the play party, it's like, okay, well, you were here potentially to play, right? That's the name of the game, right? Mm-hmm. People go to bars and don't drink, which is fine. So you came to the play party and let's, you know, they most likely want to play. It's a good place to start, to where you guys could like try the threesome out that night, or you hooked up with that person one-on-one. It was like, you know what? I think my partner would really like you, but there's nothing like face-to-face interaction. I've used to go on apps and I'd swipe and we'd meet, and then I met him face to face. I was like, oh my God, I wasted so much time on such a clever texter.
Shit.
I was like, oh my God, you're so good over text, but like face to face. So the play parties are a great space, and it also allows, like, it could happen there. And I've seen so many times where you hook up at the play party and then it's like, do you want to come to our place after? And then you get this awesome threesome, or take our number down, or connect with us on the Play Network. And we'll then, you know, figure out a time for all of us to meet.
Yeah. And you are the co-founder of The Play, for people that haven't seen you here before. But so The Play is my personal favorite play party in LA. Oh, and that's what the Play Network too is like the,
yeah, we created an app for our community.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're, you know, with The Play, what makes us different than other play parties is that we require testing from all of our guests and we vet all of our guests. So, you know, there's a few other things, but primarily those two are big. So when you are on our app looking to play with someone, it's like, okay, well, at least I know they've gone through some type of interview process to get to this app. Mm-hmm. And then I also know that if they've been to the play, they've been tested pretty recently. And I didn't think testing was a big deal until, you know, I get on the field and it's like, hey, can I see your test? It's like, oh, I've got a test from a year ago. Like, okay, so you're out here active on the, you know, the non-monogamous app and you're like not testing too often.
Yeah, you got to prioritize your health.
I mean, it's okay, you know, and again, we don't know their relationship status and all the other things that could mean that they're potentially safe. But I know that if you're on the Play Network, that you are getting tested regularly. And that's, it's a good feeling, especially when you're trying to have a threesome, to know, okay, at least this person is tested. And that's another great thing. Sharing test results before the threesome.
Yeah.
It's a courtesy.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just a courtesy. Hey, I know you guys invited me in. Here are my results from 2 months ago. Or would you like me to get tested again? Mm-hmm. Like when you
starting
have
that conversation.
Yeah, when you have that conversation, like that is sexy. Mm-hmm. That is going to allow maybe for things that may not have been on the table to potentially be on the table.
For sure. There's
definitely threesomes that, you know, people have had where everyone gets tested right before and they don't hook up with anybody prior to the threesome. And then they have a threesome without condoms and everybody feels like, no, there's not a big risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. To have an STI. Of course. Yeah,
I feel like we covered everything. That was pretty good. I'm hoping we educate some people and give some people some wisdom.
I hope so too. Yeah, just if you do get in a situation where you've got the natural threesome happening, you know, breathe through it. Try not to call it out. You know, like, are we about to have a threesome? Are you guys comfortable? I'm just like, it's happening. But
welcome
I,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I do think having a conversations in multiple conversations prior to the threesome, I think creating that group chat before the threesome is super mm-hmm. fun. It also allows for just flirting anticipation building up, you know, maybe pictures are sent or always, videos yes. or something like that. And then also it's good for aftercare. And that's another thing that I think we should talk about is aftercare when it comes to a threesome. Mm-hmm. No unicorn likes feeling used.
Totally.
So making sure both people from the couple check in with that person. She may tell the, you know, let's say the unicorn was a woman and the couple was a guy and a girl. She may feel comfortable telling the girl information that she's not comfortable telling the guy. Or if the guy was her friend first, like I'm more comfortable telling my friend something than someone who I don't really know. So just the aftercare checking in, like, hey, we had a great time. You know, how was your experience? Did you have mm-hmm. fun too? Like, was there anything we could have done better? Like, was the communication okay? Did you have fun?
Yeah, I love that. It's so important.
Exactly. Because no one wants to feel like used. Mm-hmm. Like they had a threesome and now they don't talk to me. Even if you guys had a fight after, like check in and be like, you know what? We had a little rough patch there. Thank you so much for that night. But we just have some stuff to work on.
Yeah, totally. Just being transparent and communicating the whole way through, I think is.
Aftercare is just as important in regular sex as it is in group sex. Mm-hmm. Just check in.
Yeah. Well, I want you to give us your last sweet release moment, or if you want it to be your last sweet release threesome moment, that could be fun too. I don't know. Whatever you feel is right.
It was just my birthday.
Oh, shit. Did you get a threesome on your birthday? Happy belated.
Yeah, my birthday was pretty wild.
Was it? Yeah. Share as many and all details that you're willing to share.
Oh, man, here we go.
Where to start?
I had wanted a blowjob from four women at the same time.
Nice.
You know, and I just happened during my birthday, there were four women around. And I communicated to everybody, their partners as well. I was like, I know this is definitely some taker energy, but it's my birthday.
I deserve it.
And so they were like, okay. Everybody was like, okay, cool. Yeah, for sure. And they were like, you know, do you have enough dick for four people? I was like, that's a fair question. You know,
someone could be on the balls. What do you mean?
That's what I said. It was like a lot of things down there. You know, I don't know how you guys do blowjobs, but it all doesn't have to be on my penis. So they ended up bringing out a cake that had a hole on it. And Stevie Wonder, Happy Birthday, was going on in the background, oh, like playing yes. in the background. And they put the cake like right here. And yeah, like right, like my dick was right in the middle of the cake that they cut a hole in. And then I was hard when that happened. And then they put 4 candles in and lit the candles. And that's when I didn't get as hard. I was like, whoa, hold on now, a little fire. I wasn't ready for the fire feature. But they, you know, they blew it out and they started eating the cake. Yeah. And my friend gave me like a bottle of champagne and I just started spraying it. So they were like, you know, eating the cake and giving me a little fellatio. And it was raining champagne.
I was going to say.
With Stevie Wonder in the background.
I love that. Oh my God.
It was a good birthday.
That's a good sweet release.
I'm not going to say which birth. Oh, wait. That's the last sweet release. So, yeah, it was my last birthday.
Well, I appreciate it for sharing. And I appreciate you coming on and sharing your threesome wisdom.
I love being on the Sweet Release podcast, Barbie. And if you guys haven't seen the episode from the play camp, you got to check it out. It is so good. There's so many great little golden nuggets in there.
I know. Thank you so much for having me. I think we'll do something again soon in the future. So stay tuned. But yeah, thanks again, Michael. And thank you, sweets, for coming back week after week. Be sweet to yourself and be sweet to those threesomes. Enjoy. Love you guys. Bye.